We were at the wedding of Brett and Emily, now Ridener, Jeff and Wendy Marsh-Rowe's daughter, Emily, and in Charlevoix, Castle Farms, and had a great time. And that's, you know, we were out in the middle of nowhere without any real good signals when we heard only first that President Trump had been shot. You can imagine what it was like. Ann is our program director. Me is one of the talk show hosts. You react, but there's not a lot you can do, obviously, but you feel like you want to be on the air and filling people in. Well, Ann got that handled, and Marie Osborne came on board and all of that. But there's going to be a lot of second-guessing, a lot of talking, and we're talking to a lot of people, like Nolan Findlay, editorial page editor of the Detroit News, who, along with his friend Stephen Henderson, started the Great Lakes Civility Project, which it probably should be called, Nolan, the United States of America Civility Project. God knows we need it.
We're staying in our zone, Paul.
All right. Tell me where you were when you found out that President Trump had been shot.
Well, I was just, doing a little yard work, working around, and saw it come, a bullet come across the phone, and immediately started watching the television. I think it was very quickly apparent that the president was going to, our former president was going to be okay. But it was a long evening and of watching that coverage, and I thought, well done coverage for the most part.
Yeah, it seemed like it was certainly well covered. There are a lot of questions. I'm not going into the conspiracy theories. I'm just saying, from my experience with Secret Service going back to the mid-'80s, it's just astonishing that somebody could get up on a roof within sight of all of the Secret Service and with a straight line sight to the president and carry a rifle on the roof with people yelling and screaming, there's a guy with a rifle, and then shooting the president and getting eight shots off. I mean, it's really not what we expect from the experience with what has been an incredibly efficient and good, heroic position of the Secret Service in so many other experiences. And we saw the people that were there, the detail covering his body, not knowing if the next bullet would rip through their body, but it would prevent it from hitting the president. These are incredible people, but I think there's some leadership issues.
They are, but what I kept thinking watching that is as they were holding him up, that if there were a second shooter, I mean, that he was very exposed. I mean,
yeah. I'm seeing it pictured now.
Good target.
One of the women Secret Service agents, and I know DEI or whatever we call it now, this new Secret Service president's job was to hire more women. I'm not blaming the women, but the woman who was hugging him was a head shorter than him. So on her side, you had a perfect headshot. And in terms of the other thing, when he got into the armored vehicle, instead of pushing his head down and pushing him in, he stood on the step and stood up and waved again to the people, yet another perfect headshot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an expert on this, and I'm not going to second-guess people doing a very difficult and dangerous job. But it seemed to me, just watching it, and I was thinking at the time, if there's a second shooter out there, or if they haven't subdued the first shooter, and at that moment, we certainly didn't know it. I assume the Secret Service agent did. He's a big old target still. And I was curious about that. Sure, we're going to hear a lot about that.
Yeah.
We had a good story quoting Matthew Schneider in our paper today, who was questioning some of the execution of the protections for Donald Trump. So I'm sure that's going to be, over the next few weeks, a huge issue that's going to get hashed through. Because there's a lot of campaigning left here.
Oh, there sure is. And do you agree with me that that's the one shot of the president surrounded by Secret Service, blood coming down his face from his ear, fist up in the air, and the American flag flying behind him? Is that the iconic shot and will be in the history books forever?
It is, but I'm surprised at the number of outlets that didn't use it. You know, it seems almost a reluctance, this idea that maybe that perhaps Donald Trump was too heroic looking in that
picture. Oh, my God. I hadn't even thought of that. Oh, my God. Well, listen.
That's certainly an iconic image. We used it.
I would not put that out of my mind because you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, we had somebody who worked for Democrats say, please take shooting lessons so you don't miss next time. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What we come back to what you and Mr. Henderson, Stephen, have come up with the Civility Project goal of building healthy disagreement and constructive dialogue while teaching people how to build civility in their relationships. How's that going?
Well, it's going well. The project's 3 or 4 years old. Now we've been on the road doing this for, you know, throughout Metro Detroit, but also throughout Michigan and several other states. We've done either Zoom videos or personal appearances with about 150 groups now, just talking about the need for a more civil discourse in our country, a healthier dialogue, and to convince people that they don't have to hate someone simply because they disagree with their political views. And increasingly today, that's where we default to. And, you know, thanks to our sponsors, Huntington Bank, Dental Dental Plans, Ralph Wilson Foundation, we've been able to get our stuff out to quite a large number of people. And, you know, when we talk to people, there does seem to be a hunger out there, a real appetite for civility, for a more productive approach to our differences. And so that's encouraging.
Well, I'll tell you, what we're going to find is how Donald Trump is going to lead the nation one way or another. It's going to be up to him now that they say he's rewriting his speech to focus on unity. And the President Biden calling for calm, and we would hope that they would carry that through in their convention. But, you know, if Donald Trump learns a little something from Melania's letter to America, it would be a good thing.
It's perfect, and there's an opportunity here for Trump to go to that sort of calmer tone and healthier tone because, you know, there's a lot of people out there who would vote for him, but they're afraid of him. So I think it's easier for him than Joe Biden because the Democrats' whole campaign depends on scaring people about Donald Trump. And so, you know, how do you scare people if you don't demonize Donald Trump? So they're stuck in a real difficult position here.
They're not going to accept this, but they have to accept blame by demonizing him and calling him Hitler. And if you get a sick guy out there who thinks it's, you know, if he were back in Hitler's day and he killed Hitler, he'd be a hero.
I mean, but again, it is a lot easier for the Republicans to pivot because Democrats are doing their job for them in terms of tearing down Joe Biden. All Democrats have is making Donald Trump seem as scary as they can.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it all plays out. This is the week, and we'll learn a lot, that's for sure. Nolan Findlay, always a pleasure, editorial page editor for the Detroit News, and his The Great Lakes Civility Project with Stephen Henderson. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
See you later. We continue in Focus on WJR.